to Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Across every state of India, across 125 countries, across political, religious, racial, geographic and linguistic divide, across social and cultural barriers, what compels millions to step forward and reach out to complete strangers in need? Since 1940, when the 14-year-old Satya declared his divine mission, a silent revolution has emerged from a heart that preaches only one language, that of unconditional love. Through his massive service projects, Bhagwan Baba has redefined spirituality as social activism, responsible charity and conscientious citizenship. Be it a service project in remote Andhra Pradesh or at a slum in Zimbabwe, volunteers from all backgrounds are transforming our world by serving in the name of Sai.
Dear listeners, loving Sairams and greetings from Prashant Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. Today, as part of the segment Service Love in Action, I have with me Brother Sai Giridhar, research scholar from Sri Satya Institute of Higher Learning. Sairam, brother.
Sairam, Raghu.
Greetings and welcome to studios.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be here.
As I said, we have named this segment as Service Love in Action. Yes. Swami gives a lot of importance to service, seva. In fact, in almost all of his discourse, he almost makes it a point to talk something about seva, right?
Yes.
He has said, manava seva is madhava seva. Paropakarartham idam shariram. That is, this body itself is given for service to others. So, we have named this segment as Service Love in Action. And in this segment, what I do is, I try to speak to the members of the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization, devotees of Swami, students of Swami, and listen to what seva they are involved in their own places, in whatever capacity they can.
Wonderful.
And also listen to the experience of involving in service activities. Means there are many benefits of service activities. In fact, Swami has many times said that when we serve others, we are actually serving ourselves,
exactly,
right?
Yes.
We are annihilating our ego and we become more humble and more sensitive to other people and we are getting changes in our own personality. Now, Ramayana is one of the greatest epic which has got many characters and whenever we read Ramayana, we learn many new lessons and many new insights. So today I want to concentrate on the aspect of seva from that we learn from different characters of Ramayana. So that's why I called you here. And so let me start with one of my personal favorite character of Ramayana, that is Hanuman.
Oh, wonderful. He is an all-time favorite.
Yeah. And he is the best example for service, I'm sure.
Absolutely, yes.
Whenever I think of Hanuman, the episode that comes to me is when he goes to Lanka in search of Mother Sita.
Uh-huh.
And he comes across Vibhishana, who will be chanting Lord's name, Rama's name.
Yes.
He will be wondering, first of all, how come in a place like Lanka, which is full of demons, somebody is
chanting the Lord's name.
Lord's name.
Yeah.
So he starts speaking to Vibhishana and they come to know about each other. And Vibhishana tells Hanuman, "Oh Hanuman, you are so lucky. You had Lord's darshan and you are with him. I chant Lord's name from early morning, from the time I get up till the time I go to sleep. Throughout the day I'll be chanting Lord's name, but I didn't get the opportunity to have Lord's darshan."
Yes.
And for this, what Hanuman says is very profound. He says, "See Vibhishana, it's not enough if you chant Lord's name, but you should get involved in his work. Ravana has kidnapped Mother Sita and kept her here. Have you tried to know about her? Have you taken the step to...
to alleviate her suffering and... Yes.
For this, it seems Vibhishana says, see Hanuman, you don't know, I am in the midst of many demons. It's like how tongue is in the midst of all the teeth, like in the mouth. Yes. So the tongue can get bitten anytime. That's what Vibhishana says, it seems. And for this, Hanuman says, see Vibhishana, it's true, tongue can get bitten anytime. But in the long run, all teeth fall, but nothing happens to the tongue.
I think it is in the beginning as well as at the end.
Yeah.
Right? When a child is born also, there's just the tongue to start with. And even as a person really ages, if all their teeth fall off, then only the tongue is left.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I have made the beginning. Now, you please add to this.
Thank you, Raghu, for this most wonderful opportunity. And I think the title of the program itself could not have been better than this. It's really perfect. You said seva, love in action. So I would like to start with this thought that seva really is an outpouring of love. It's not that we do seva and then develop love. We have love, and the expression of that love is in the form of seva.
Correct.
And Ramayana has many such examples. And as you said, Swami gives the Navavidha Bhakti, starting with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Vandanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Sneham, and Atmanivedanam. For Dasya Bhakti, or for servitude, Swami tells us that Hanuman is the best or the highest example for servitude. And since he is both your and my personal favorite too, and I'm sure for many of our listeners, so let's start with some beautiful episodes from Ramayana, which kind of epitomize this quality that it is really an outpouring of love that is seva. And the classic example is the snapping of fingers episode in Ramayana. It is said that after everything was done, the Pattabhishekam of Rama was over as the emperor of this great nation of Bharat.
After Rama killed Ravana.
Yes, after Rama killed Ravana, and they all returned back to Ayodhya, and the coronation or Pattabhishekam of Sri Rama happens. This is after some time had lapsed, and it is said that Bharata and Shatrughna together were sitting and listing out a set of duties along with Lakshmana, of course. They made a huge list of duties because everybody wanted a chance to serve Sri Rama in some way or the other. And what they felt is this Hanuman had got enough opportunities already. Yeah. Means he had taken so many opportunities to serve Sri Rama. So let's keep him out of the picture. In order to do that, they went ahead to prepare such an exhaustive list of service activities to the minutest detail so that nothing is left. And it was time when Rama had called all of them in his presence, and these list of duties were to be announced. And slowly but surely Hanuman walked in, and he was very eager to know in what way that he can serve his Lord, because Hanuman was so much filled with love for Rama that he could not survive even a second without serving the Lord. That was not possible for him. So he was very eager to know what is the seva that was given to him. So the big list of seva activities, you know, they started reading out Bharata and Shatrughna one by one, one by one, one by one. It's a huge list, and they were going on and on and on. And Hanuman was waiting, 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 waiting. And it went to the last page, and the last set of duties were being announced. Against each duty, of course, the person who is given that duty, their name was announced.
Assignee of the duty.
Yeah, the assignee of the duty. At the end, the last duty and the assignee's name was announced. And there was no mention of Hanuman in any of this. Tears rolled down Hanuman's eyes because he couldn't bear the thought that he will not get a chance to serve his master in some way or the other. But when this kind of overpowering love is there in the heart of a devotee, the Lord himself gives the yukti or the intelligent means. So immediately a thought occurs in his mind, and Hanuman prays to the Lord and says, Lord, I am not given any duty. And Rama also playfully, you know, I can imagine how Swami used to do this with his devotees. Rama also very playfully tells Hanuman, see, I have not made this list, so I really don't know. you please consult Bharata and Shatrughna about it. Hanuman very well knows that they have omitted his name purposefully. So this yukti then comes into his mind because of his sheer love for the Lord. And that yukti is, he says, Lord, if I am permitted, let me ask for a very insignificant seva. So Bharata, Shatrughna and Lakshmana are looking at each other. What is it that we have left out in this exhaustive list?
Correct.
And they felt it should really be insignificant, and it might be for some 1 or 2 seconds or maybe for a minute at the max during the day. So it should be okay. And in this playful, this is all a playful drama of the Lord and his devotees, of course. Hanuman got this yukti and he said, Lord, give me the opportunity to snap my fingers, you know, like this, whenever you yawn. So Rama smiled, because Rama understood what this would mean. He smiled at Hanuman and he looked at Bharata and Shatrughna and Lakshmana, and they said, oh yes, yes, it's okay. Because they said, they thought Rama is only going to yawn once or twice in a day.
Correct.
So what's the big deal in that? Few seconds of proximity he is going to get.
Yeah.
So Bharata, Shatrughna and Lakshmana looked at each other, acknowledged and said, they looked at Rama and said, yes, definitely we can offer Hanuman this seva. Mm. And immediately Rama says, since the people who have arranged for this seva are amenable with this, let's go ahead with this. You are permitted to do the seva.
Mm.
So Rama gives the certificate that you are permitted to snap your fingers whenever I yawn.
Yawn.
Now what followed was an absolute disaster for the plan that they had in mind, Bharata, Lakshmana and Shatrughna. Because Hanuman was following Rama anywhere and everywhere. And they really got annoyed. Bharata and Lakshmana asked Hanuman, why are you following Sri Rama everywhere? You were given a simple duty to snap your finger whenever he yawns.
Yeah.
And then Hanuman, with all his humility and love, he joins his hand and says, my dear brothers, can you tell me when exactly Sri Rama is going to yawn? Do you know the exact time when he is going to yawn? And since I have to be present for the duty of snapping my fingers when he yawns, and I don't know when he is going to yawn, so I have to be with him all the time.
Correct.
You know, and this is how, you know, in cricket we call it googly. And that is how Hanuman bowled the googly, and Bharata, Lakshmana and Shatrughna were caught unawares, and they did not recognize in this very sweet episode, playful episode, they could understand then the depth of Hanuman's love for Sri Rama. There is another episode which is post Pattabhishekam of Sri Rama, which again conveys the intense love of Hanuman, which was constantly pouring out in the form of service, in the form of seva. That is an extraordinary episode, the way Swami describes it, and most people are aware of this incident. It so happens that it was night time, and Hanuman, as usual, wanted to be there for Sri Rama all the time. He wanted to be in the presence of his Lord. And he goes there. Rama enters his inner chambers to take rest, his bedroom. And Hanuman was about to enter Rama's bedroom. At that time, Mother Sita was closing the doors of the bedroom. Very casually, he said innocently, Mother, I also will come inside. So Mother looked at him very quizzically and said, no, Hanuman, you are not allowed inside at this time. During the day, you can serve the Lord. There is no problem. But this time, only I am permitted to serve the Lord. Hanuman looked at Mother quizzically at this time. He said, why, Mother, what is it that permits you to serve the Lord now? I anyway got permission from him to serve him all the time. Then Mother Sita points to the sindoor that she was wearing, the vermilion, the red spot that Indian ladies, Bharatiya ladies wear or on their forehead as a mark of a protection of their husband, for the long life, or the longevity of their husbands. So Mother Sita showed that qualification of her being the Pativrata or Sati of her husband, marked by the sindoor on her forehead, and said, this is the special qualification that I have, which allows me to serve my Lord even during the night time. Then she closes the door. So Hanuman was puzzled. So he went away for some time, nobody knew where. But after some time, there was a knock on the bedroom door again. Okay. And Mother Sita was wondering, who is this now? And she opens the door to find Hanuman, and she was shocked. She was stunned by what she saw. Hanuman had gone somewhere, procured tons and tons of sindoor and applied all over his body from top to toe.
My God.
And then he tells Mother, Mother, you said that small dot of sindoor on your head gives you the qualification to be with the Lord all the time. Now I have applied the sindoor from top of my head till the toe. So wow, you have to allow me inside to serve my Lord.
Oh.
You know, that is how sweet, innocent and intense was the love of Hanuman. And it is in fact this love which we cultivate for our Lord finds its expression in the form of seva.
Mm.
Whenever we see somebody who is distraught or who is in pain, the moment we sense that the same indweller, same Swami resides in his heart, the love that we have for Swami simply pours out to that person.
Sai Ram, you are listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony, and this is a conversation with Mr. Sai Giridhar, research scholar in the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Stay tuned.
Jai ho, Pavan वायु कुमारा वानर वीरा।
साई राम, यू आर लिसनिंग टू रेडियो साई ग्लोबल हार्मनी and let's continue to listen to the conversation with Mr. Sai Giridhar, a research scholar in the Sri Satya Sai Institute of High Learning.
In fact, Swami gives this wonderful chinnakata about how compassion should be. He says that also should be an outpouring of this love in the form of seva. And he gives this analogy of a calf, a little one, which was stuck in a pool of slush, a muddy pool after a rain. It was stuck in a pool of slush and was struggling to come out. It's one of the most painful sights to see, you know, the little calf slipping in the slush and not able to move out. This was happening and a few street urchins, children were playing around. They were enjoying this scene. So an ascetic was passing by and he looks at this calf and he's not able to bear the pain which he himself is experiencing, seeing the calf suffer. So he runs towards the calf and actually lifts the calf and puts it on safe ground. And as he's walking away, the children follow him and ask, "What do you think you have done? You have denied us our entertainment. You know, we were having great fun to see how this calf is going to get out of this place. Do you think you are so noble and all that?" Then the ascetic said, "No, dear children, it's nothing like that. When I saw the suffering of the calf, my heart was in such pain. I had to do something to relieve my own pain." You know, and hence daya or compassion started flowing. So it is when we see others as part of ourselves, or when we see, because everybody loves their self, isn't
correct.
It? When we see others as part of ourselves. The feeling of oneness. Or when we feel that the same Sai pervades everybody's heart, that love which we have for ourselves, or that love which we have for Bhagwan in our heart, that outpouring of that love will be in the form of seva or compassion or daya, as Bhagwan describes here.
In fact, adding to this chinnakatha what Swami had said, there is one more analogy that Swami gives. If somebody is walking in a forest and if a thorn pricks the toe,
yes,
what do you do? Immediately you bend and the hand goes to the rescue of the foot to remove the thorn. And if the pain is intense, even the eyes react by the tears.
Yes.
So it shows that the whole body got the pain.
Yes.
So it's like the feeling of oneness. And that's what Swami brings about from that analogy.
Indeed. In fact, the definition of bhakti itself is that. Bhakti means where there is no vibhakti. Vibhakti means separation. So bhakti means oneness. And bhakti, Swami says, is love for God. That is, one has to experience the close proximity, or rather at a more advanced level, the oneness with God.
Yes.
That it is He who functions through all of us. Just like Swami gives this beautiful example, like we have the tube lights here, the fans here, the air conditioners, the mic. There are so many electronic devices here. Each one has its own functionality. But there is only one electricity, one current,
correct,
which passes through all these devices and makes them function. In the same way, even our human body, each one of us have different functionalities, we have different emotions, we all look very, very different. But there is only one self, which is the current or the electricity that enables us to function. And that current is God, that current is Swami. In that spirit of oneness, yes, seva must be, must happen. I wouldn't say even perform, seva must spontaneously happen in that spirit. I also remember one more personality who is such an embodiment of love, whose outpouring in the form of seva was incomparable, and that was Mother Shabari. Mother Shabari, she was advised by her guru, Matanga Muni. She used to live near Kishkindha, that area, on the banks of the Pampa Sarovar and all that. And her guru, Matanga Muni, had told her that one day, he did not tell when and how and where and all that. He just said, one day, the Lord of the universe, Sri Rama, will come by this way to our hermitage. You must be here to serve him. You cannot leave before that. And she took this as a command, and her great love for Rama. Can you imagine this? Every single day, she would clean the whole hermitage. arrange flowers, get fresh flowers and arrange them a very beautiful way, in a decorative way. Go and find out different fruits. And especially we know the famous ber ka phal, or the berry fruit, which she would pluck and personally taste it and see whether it is sweet or not. Every single day she would do that.
As if that day Rama is going to come.
Yes, as if that day Rama is going to come, because she doesn't know which day he is. Imagine, even if one day she misses this chance and she forgets, or she kind of is so tired of this whole exercise and she stops doing this. And that day Rama comes, what would have happened? This is in fact a very great lesson for all of us devotees and sevaks of Bhagavan, that seva kind of demands, it is a nature of a sevak to have these three qualifications, or we have to develop these three qualities of purity, patience and perseverance. And Mother Shabari was the embodiment of this. She was an embodiment of purity. And all her thoughts were always directed towards Sri Rama. And she was an embodiment of patience, because she did not know when he is going to come. And every day she patiently waited for the Lord.
And after many years, Rama came, right?
Yes, I think almost after 10 or 14 years, Rama actually came. And nobody knew which date or time. There was no appointment fixed. And Rama would just walk by that place, any moment, you know. And imagine the alertness that she had. Every second she was alert to the fact that the Lord might walk into my life. And she made all the preparations and she was ready. And in fact, Swami says our life also should be like that. Every moment we should be alert. We should be available for the Lord's arrival. We never know when he will arrive into our heart and transform this body into his permanent abode, which is called realization. We really don't know when that will happen. But it can happen any moment.
When it will happen and in which form Lord will come, we all that.
Absolutely no idea, isn't
correct.
It? Isn't. So that is why Mother Shabari is the very embodiment. And when Sri Rama actually comes to her hermitage, she welcomes him with all her heart, takes him inside her hermitage, washes Sri Rama's feet, and you know, it's such an emotional moment. You know, I'm myself overwhelmed by you know, that episode, just thinking about it. She washes Rama's feet and sits next to him and offers this fruit which she herself has tasted and bitten. You know, Lakshmana is not able to stand the sight. Rama is enjoying this fruit which was already partaken by Shabari. And Rama just looks at Lakshmana and smiles. He tells Lakshmana that this fruit is more pure, more suffused with love than anything he has ever partaken in his life.
Wow.
So Lord looks forward to this kind of purity in the heart of a devotee. This outpouring of love, there can be no blemish when seva is an outpouring of love. Lakshmana could see the blemish that, you know, Mother Shabari had actually tasted to see which fruit is good. And she presented those fruits which she had already tasted. But her attitude was very different. She felt that even by mistake, a bitter fruit should not be given to Rama. What a beautiful attitude. This is another aspect of seva. The another aspect of seva is, whatever is offered to the Lord in the form of seva has to be very sweet, has to be pleasing for the Lord. And that is what Mother Shabari did. She tasted every fruit just to check that it is absolutely sweet and there is no tinge of bitterness in it. In the same way, whatever little seva we render to the Lord in our own way, we should ensure that it is to the taste of the Lord. That is, it gives pleasantness and sweetness to the Lord. I remember this episode where, you know, Swami was upset with students. It used to happen, you know, Swami used to act like he's angry or upset with the students for the development of the students too, so that they realize their mistakes and improve and all that. And usually what happens is, when the pining of the students becomes so intense, they cannot tolerate this separation anymore, and they surround Swami and they go on praying to Swami and pleading with him, please Swami, please Swami, please Swami. One such occasion when all the students surrounded Swami and they were pleading like this, please Swami, please Swami. Swami said, yes, please Swami.
Correct.
He said, in your actions, in your seva,
make Swami happy.
Make Swami happy. Yeah. Please, Swami. Then Swami will automatically be yours. Now, that is the most beautiful experience of a sevak.
Nice.
And Moving on to the next aspect of seva. Seva should not be done with any expectations. This is a very important aspect. Moment we do seva and have expectations, either out of the person whom we are serving or out of Bhagwan, saying that, Swami, I have done such and such seva, so you should reward me in such and such ways.
Mm.
Then it becomes an MOU, you know, Memorandum of Understanding.
Mm. Yeah.
Many people do this. They go with a 10 rupee coconut and break it in front of the Lord's idol and says, oh Lord, I am offering a 10 rupee coconut. Ensure that my 10 lakh deal is successful today. This is a kind of a business relationship with Lord. It is not seva. And hence, seva should be such that it is done, whether it is through thought, word or deed, it should be done without any expectation. Again, the classic example from Ramayana is Hanuman. We all know this famous episode where after the Pattabhishekam, again, the coronation of Sri Rama, Sri Rama wanted to give away gifts to all those wonderful sevaks, the monkey army, the bear army, Jambavan, Angada, Sugriva, all of them, Nala, Neela. He wanted to present them with gifts for their wonderful seva. And Swami also used to do that, isn't it?
Yes.
Whenever groups used to come from abroad to Prashanthi Nilayam, or many visitors used to come, or even those students who were staying here, Swami would always shower them with some gift or the other. He belongs to the Raghukula, you know, the solar dynasty. Just like the sun, which knows only to give, give and give. In the same way, Swami's nature, Rama's nature was only to give. Swami also would do that in the form of Rama. In Treta Yuga, he was doing that. And at that point came, everybody were given their gifts. You know, there are two episodes with respect to a similar incident that I remember here. One was the episode of the precious pearl necklace which Mother Sita was wearing. And Rama says, as a reward for seva, we have to give Hanuman also something, isn't it? He asks Mother Sita to give something to Hanuman. Of course, the Lord knew what is going to happen. That's why he said, Mother Sita, please give this gift to Hanuman. And Mother Sita removed the most precious, priceless jewelry that she was wearing, which was a necklace of pearls, which was to be given to Hanuman. And when she gave it to Hanuman, Hanuman first said, why all this, mother? She said, no, I insist you should take. So he took that. And what he started doing amazed everybody in the audience there, in the court. He started pulling out one moti mala, one pearl from the necklace, and he started breaking them, biting them and breaking them, listening to something inside and then throwing them away, casting them away.
Mm-hmm.
And in some time, some people who did not understand what was happening there, they started questioning Hanuman's, you know, insulting this prize or reward which was given by Mother Sita.
Yeah.
They said, how dare you do this? How can you bite and throw away a precious jewel which Mother has given you? And he said, see, I don't know if it's precious or not. So I was checking. So I am breaking each pearl, putting it against my ear to see if Rama's name reverberates in it.
Wow.
He says, if Rama Nama is not there in this, if Rama is not reverberating in this pearl, how is it of any value to me? How is it precious? So hence I don't hear anything. So I cast it away. And then one of them had the audacity to ask Hanuman, and they said, oh, is it so? Then what is the use of this body of yours? Is it of any use? Can you say that Rama's name is reverberating in this body also?
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, what use is this body of yours? And then Hanuman plucks out a strand of hair from his body and places it against that person's ear. And that gentleman could hear the name of Sri Ram, 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 reverberating in that strand and in every strand of hair of Hanuman.
Wow.
And it is said that he opened his chest to give the vision of Rama and Sita, Sita Rama residing in his heart at that point of time. And that is how a sevak eventually becomes. Every atom of his body reverberates with the name, with the love of his beloved, whom he has been serving all his life.
Mm.
You know, this is one beautiful example.
Sai Ram, you just heard an episode of our radio series, Serving in the Name of Sai, in which we brought to you a conversation with Mr. Sai Giridhar, a research scholar at the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. In conversation with him was Radio Sai's Raghu, and this was featured as part of Thursday Live in July 2015. Please do send in your feedback and comments. We look forward to emails. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.
ओंकार सतनाम करता पूरक निरपार निर्वैर अकाल मूरत अर्जुनि से भंग गुरु प्रसाद जप आद सच जुगाद सच है भी सच नानक होसी भी सच।
वाहे गुरु जी बोलो, वाहे गुरु जी।